Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path. And the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures for a while, and then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. In our gospel text this morning, Matthew sets a pretty familiar scene. Jesus finds himself surrounded by a crowd and needs to find a better vantage point so that he can be properly heard by all. Back in Matthew 5, we remember that when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them. That teaching that happened in Matthew 5 was the famous Sermon on the Mount. What happens here is, the Sermon on the Boat, I guess, right? If it were a podcast, maybe they would call it Pontoon Preaching with JC. I don't know. Unlike Matthew 5, this particular instance of Jesus' teaching does not have a name, technically. But it does have some recognizable components, parables. The passage we read this morning, the parable of the sower, sometimes called the parable of the sowing or the parable of the soils, is the beginning of a collection of parables in Matthew used by Jesus to teach his followers. Some of them, like the parable of the sower, are explained, and some are just kind of, left hanging there in the air all alone. More often than not, these parables have to do with the nature of the kingdom of heaven. This parable, though, the parable of the sower, Jesus tells us, is about the word of the kingdom. That is, it is a parable about what Jesus, it's a parable about Jesus' teaching. It's a teaching about teaching. Everybody got that? Okay. Jesus begins the parable talking about this sower of seeds, this gardener, this farmer. Now, I don't know about you all, but my relationship to farming can be charitably described as distant. In fact, with really only one exception, I am multiple generations removed from the farm. And that one connection, my great uncle, Carol, you know him, John Brendan, though a farmer for his most of his life, he's also spent most of his life in state politics, which is not the same as farming, right? So like I said, it's distant, my relationship to farming. And though I am known to pull a weed every now and again, I don't think anybody would call me a gardener. But I know enough about the tending of the land to know that this sower that Jesus describes isn't very good at it, their job, right? I mean, he's just throwing seed willy-nilly all over the place. There doesn't seem to be any method or desired outcome. He's just throwing caution to the wind, literally. And so, naturally, the seeds wind up in all kinds of crazy situations. Eaten by birds, strangled by thorns, dried out in the sun, and some, by dumb luck, I guess, even manage to amount to something, to yield some fruit. But that yield, that harvest, is uneven at best. Some at 30, some at 60, some at 100-fold. That's all over the map. Farming, I realize, is unpredictable, just like any other business, and just like any other business, there is a significant amount of risk involved, but this scattershot seeding seems like pretty bad business to me, right? As I'm sure you can imagine, a lot has been made over the years about what this all means. This parable of the sower. Who are the seeds? What is the nature of their fruit that they're bearing? I mean, we know that Jesus is the sower. After all, who else would be the deliverer of the word of the kingdom than the very word, with a capital W, of the kingdom himself? Jesus tells us what each of these seeds, with their varied locations and varied fates, represent, right? In verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, in verses 20 and 21, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, in verse 22, Jesus says, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This all makes sense, right? We know what it means to be these seeds. We can see the parallels. We can sometimes be fickle followers who stick with this whole faith thing for a while, but then lose our way. We can be overly zealous in the beginning, full of passion and praise, but quickly undone when trouble comes our way. We can be strong participants in religious life, giving of our time, our energy, and our resources generously until the material reality of being a person in this time and place and culture exerts its ever-hungry hold on us. And we know what it is to be good, too. But also we are aware that we are usually only as good as our best day. And frankly, not all of them are at 100%, right? In fact, if we're honest, it's hard to say if any of them are at 100%. Maybe 30 or 60 is a little bit more comfortable estimation of where we find ourselves some days. There is a certain amount of comfort that we could find in this, I suppose. Jesus knows the complicated nature of human reality, right? He knows that life is filled with birds and thorns and shallow roots and good soil too. And certainly there is grace for all of that. I don't know, maybe that's why he sends those seeds flying all over the place. But that's not all that is happening here. Maybe comfort is some part of it, but I'm fairly certain that Jesus isn't wielding this pedagogical tool so that we will all feel a little bit better about our lot in life or this moment in our faith journey. Jesus is trying to teach us something, after all, something about his teachings. Jesus is telling us a little something about ourselves, sure. But Jesus is trying to tell us about how we receive the word of the kingdom. He's trying to tell us about how we hear his teachings, about what it means to follow him. So I think it's helpful if we look into what this kingdom is, so that we can better understand the complicated and varying ways that we hear this word about it. In your pew fronts or under your seat, you should find a Bible. I'm going to invite you to take it out. The smaller of the red books, the one that says Holy Bible on the front. And we're going to open to Matthew chapter 5. It's towards the back. Our passage in Matthew chapter 5 begins in that familiar place. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak and taught them, saying, and I want you to read with me if you can, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We're going to stop right there. This list of blessings don't sound like blessings. These aren't the people we typically think of as being blessed. And yet this is an example of what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about the kingdom of God, a kingdom that, yes, we await with bated breath, that, yes, we dream of entering one day, but the kingdom of God is near, is at hand. So much of Jesus' teaching, so many of these parables are about this kingdom because Jesus is calling his followers to find good soil, to bear good fruit, to be co-creators and realizers of that kingdom right here, right now. So those blesseds are quite a to-do list, if ever there was one. When we read these items, these named realities of the kingdom of God, these express purposes of Jesus' life on this earth, the named callings placed on our hearts, we must also ask ourselves, what kind of seed am I? What kind of soil have I found myself in? What kind of role am I meant to play in all of this? And what is keeping me from doing it for real? The gospel, the good news of God's salvation, the ongoing blessing of God's revelation, the promise of God's kingdom is here for us. And what a beautiful gift it can be. All too often, though, we are more than willing to accept that gift, eager even, excited to be relieved of our suffering. But how often are we excited to receive the gift of the work that comes along with it? Are we as excited to receive the calling to be participants in the realization of the kingdom here and now by following those words of Matthew 5, of acknowledging those blessings, of delivering those blessings, by bearing that fruit that we read about today in Matthew 13? Are we as excited to do all of that as we are to receive the promise of our place in the kingdom? Do we realize that both of these gifts, this calling, the role we have to play in the kingdom, and that place reserved for us before God's throne, are one and the same? It is a beautiful life we have been given to lead. It is a hard life we have been given to lead. God knows this. Jesus speaks to it, describes it over and over, and yet recognizes that the beauty is not just something we long for, something that's just down the road, but something that is available to us here and now, not only through God's grace, but also through God's calling. Will you pray with me? Will you? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the seeds you have sown. We give you thanks for the soil, for the rain, for the sun. We give you thanks for your Son, who has seen something in us that might just bear fruit. Help us to bear fruit. Help us to see the reality of your kingdom right now before us. Help us to recognize the ways you have blessed your people that reach far beyond our own comprehension of what blessings are. Help us to do your will in this world and the next. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you.